सुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
Read from the Nectar of Devotion, Evidence Regarding Devotional Principles. We discussed in our last class, long back, about the 64 items of devotional service. And some of them we already discussed. Rupa Goswami speaks about giving up the company of non-devotees. Lord Chaitanya was once asked by one of his householder devotee what the general behavior of a Vaishnava should be. In this connection, Lord Chaitanya replied that a Vaishnava should always give up the company of non-devotees. Then he explained that there are two kinds of non-devotees. One class is against the supremacy of Krishna, another class is too materialistic. In other words, those who are after material enjoyment and those who are against the supremacy of the Lord are called Avaishnava, and their company should be strictly avoided. Om Ajnanati Mirandasya Gyananjana. Hare Krishna. So these 64 items of devotional service, it enhances our bhakti and it increases our affection to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And one of the major anga of devotional service is to consciously avoid the association of non-devotees. In fact, the Agastya Samhita explains that it is better to be engulfed by the fire in the cage than to associate with a non-devotee. Or else it is also explained, it is better to be surrounded by a poisonous snake than to be surrounded by non-devotees. Chanaka Pandit explains that the snake's poison or the poison of the scorpion can only kill our body. But the association of Durjan, the association of materialistic people, will destroy our consciousness. Therefore, here Lord Chaitanya is explaining that there are two kinds of materialistic. One who does not accept the supremacy of Lord Krishna, he is also materialistic. And second is one who is too engrossed in materialistic activities. And Srila Prabhupada further elaborates that even the impersonalist, they are also in the category of non-devotees. Why? Because their understanding of Krishna and demigods and other living entities is one and the same. They do not make any distinction. Everything is one. Therefore, when Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was residing in Jagannath Puri, one of his associates, Bhagavan Acharya, had a brother. And he came from Banaras studying all the Vedas, Vedanta Sutras, with the explanation of Mayavad philosophy. When he came to Jagannath Puri, he was inviting all of his devotee friends, you come and hear from my brother, he is very expert, he is a big scholar. But then Swarup Damodar Goswami, the secretary of Lord Chaitanya, said, no, you should not invite him to speak, because he does not accept the supremacy of Lord Krishna, his association will cause contamination. But then Bhagavan Acharya said, no, we are already situated in ecstatic love. We have already developed affection for Krishna. What harm can he cause? Then Swarup Damodar Goswami said, no. Even if someone is situated on the highest platform, if he hears the blasphemy of the Lord, that can destroy spiritual life. And for us, Swarup Damodar Goswami said, to hear the blasphemy of the Lord is very painful. Therefore, we should not associate. then how do we do our duties? One can say that all the time I am associating with non-devotees, working outside. And Srila Prabhupada gave the formula that rather than taking their association, taking their conviction, usually association doesn't mean simply a physical association. That association entails taking their conviction, their consciousness, their attitudes, their understanding of life. When we take that kind of association of their understanding of life, that contaminates our consciousness. That contaminates our understanding about the process of devotional service. Our faith becomes slackened. So, therefore the association of non-devotees should be avoided as much as possible. And when we associate with non-devotees because of certain reason, if your strong association of devotees, that becomes a very strong principle to always come back to devotees. We will not like the association of non-devotees. So therefore, that is one of the limb of devotional service which has to be practiced. One should be conscious of that. That by avoiding non-devotees, I am enhancing my devotional service. Next, Rupa Goswami explains that when we practice devotional service, and then eventually as Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has explained, has ordered that everybody should become a guru. On my order, everybody should become a guru. So if somebody becomes a guru, what is the principle? Another limb of devotional service. Not accepting unfit disciples, constructing many temples or reading many books. Again, these are the pitfalls in devotional service. If somebody goes to that post, that high level, if he starts accepting all kinds of disciples, unfit disciples, that also destroys one devotional service. For the sake of prestige, one starts constructing many temples, that also diverts his attention from real spiritual culture. And then just to impress people, if one starts reading many books other than the books of devotional service, that also diverts our attention. Bahu shastra bahu vakya chitte brahma hoy. Reading too many books, having too many conclusions will cause disturbance within our conviction. Therefore here Rupa Goswami explains that accepting unfit disciples, constructing too many temples and reading too many books will destroy one's devotional service. But then Jiva Goswami explains, if that is the case, one will ask this question, then why did great acharyas like Srila Prabhupada, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur and the disciples of Srila Prabhupada are accepting many disciples. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, we have heard that he had got more than many thousands of disciples. So is it that he is not following the principle of his predecessor acharyas like Rupa Goswami? Srila Jiva Goswami explains, one who has taken the responsibility of propagating Krishna consciousness, if he is preaching Krishna consciousness and not accepting disciples, then that is a disservice. So as a service to the mission of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, to further the mission of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, a spiritual master, a teacher does this duty out of humility to accept many disciples. Therefore when Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, when his disciples celebrated his first Vyas Puja, he spoke very nicely. And the essay which was compiled by his disciple is known as Humbler Than Blade of Grass. It is not a prestigious position. It's a very difficult task. So therefore, to give guidance to his sincere followers, a spiritual teacher may accept them as formally his disciple, and there is nothing wrong about it. And constructing temples. Yes, it is not that a spiritual master will construct temple in a reckless way. The temple construction has to be there so that the culture of devotional service should be presented. So one who is careful about this warning, not accepting unfit disciple, constructing temple for the cause of spreading and reading devotional scriptures, that is also part of following the limbs of devotional service. And then Rupa Goswami explains about straightforwardness in ordinary dealings and equilibrium in loss or gain. That is the test of a devotee. When we practice devotional service, we will be tested. And because this is material world, naturally there are ups and downs. And how does a devotee deal with that? If he is lamenting for some loss and is jubilant for some gain, that's a very risky situation. He has to be equilibrium. And if he follows this principle, then his dealing with ordinary people becomes very straightforward. It becomes quite honest. There is no fishy in his dealing. Therefore, Rupa Goswami explains that even in ordinary dealings, a devotee is very conscious. He does not behave recklessly, even in ordinary dealings. Therefore, to be Krishna conscious means to be conscious of even ordinary dealings. And that's how we see Srila Prabhupada. Even he would handle small ant, he would be careful. Not that just because he's a great devotee, he would neglect the existence of a small ant also. One time one devotee, his servant was serving Srila Prabhupada, and Srila Prabhupada saw a small insect crawling. And then he called his servant, Shruti Kirti Prabhu, and he said, that insect is hungry, give a petal of a flower so that it can nourish itself. That is, even though that living entity has no existence in one sense, it is non-entity compared to the vast creation. But still, a devotee of the Lord is quite expert in handling even the ordinary things and ordinary people. Just like Srila Prabhupada, one time he saw one devotee kicking certain items. Prabhupada stopped him and said, you cannot do that. It is the energy of the Lord. You have to see Krishna even in that article. A devotee will never behave like that. So devotee becomes expert in handling the ordinary things also. Next, Rupa Goswami explains that in regards to the demigods. We were discussing this point, that the demigods are the energies of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Sometime, some class of Vaishnavas, they don't see demigods as being the empowered representative of the Lord. They say, we are only concerned with the Supreme Lord. But here, Rupa Goswami explains, yes, we understand who is the Supreme Lord, but at the same time, we don't disrespect the demigods. And Srila Prabhupada says, what to speak of the demigods who are the powerful representative of the Supreme Lord? Even Krishna's devotees do not disrespect the small insignificant ant. Therefore, understanding this principle that demigods are not the Supreme, but at the same time, also knowing that they are the representative of the Supreme Lord, and therefore, they are also given proper due respect. In this way, we balance the things. And then Rupa Goswami explains that how one should not give pain to other living entities. One devotee was explaining that some people are very, very careful not to hurt the animals, but they hurt the human beings. And some are very careful not to hurt the human beings, but they hurt the animals. But the devotee of the Lord, a Vaishnava, he handles both animals and human beings in a proper way. He does not hurt them. It is not that just because he is a devotee, even with the ordinary people, even with the materialistic people, simply he does not want to show his superior position as a devotee. Sometimes, because when we preach Krishna consciousness, it may happen that our preaching of Krishna consciousness may make other people feel that they are really fallen, they are really sinful. They might become hopeless. So Vaishnava, he does not hurt like that. What does he do? he tries to, you know, span the spark of their small devotional creeper, rather than making them feel hopeless. So that is another character of a devotee. In fact, that is the part of devotional service. It is one of the 64 items of devotional service that we don't hurt other living entities, including animals and also human beings. And then Rupa Goswami talks about offenses to be avoided. There are seva aparadhas. And that forms the 8th chapter of Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Nectar of Devotion. In fact, in the original compilation of Rupa Goswami, this chapter, offenses to be avoided, Rupa Goswami simply says that seva aparad should be avoided. One should not perform any seva aparad. And our acharyas, commenting on this, Jiva Goswami, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, and Srila Prabhupada, he actually has formed a chapter from itself. It forms in itself a chapter. Even though all these items are not mentioned in original Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. And these offenses are very, very important. Sometimes negligence of this offense, thinking that by chanting Hare Krishna, anything can be attained. Sometimes we feel, okay, I may be doing some offense. But Kaler Dosho, Kali Yuga is full of faults. So as long as I chant Hare Krishna, I can neutralize my offenses by simply chanting Hare Krishna. But Rupa Goswami wants. He says, when somebody is performing seva aparad, thinking that I can neutralize by chanting Hare Krishna, that itself is a nam aparad. That is offense against the holy name. And if somebody commits offense against the holy name, nothing can save him. Therefore, as much as possible, if someone tries to avoid the offenses, just like in the, when we were reading the characteristics of devotional service, the definition of devotional service, anyabhilashita shunyam jnana karmadi anavrutam anukulena krishna anushilanam. Anushilana means activity. There are two kinds of activity, nivritti and pravritti. Pravritti means doing positive devotional service like chanting Hare Krishna, reading the scriptures, worshipping the Lord in His deity form, partaking the prasad of the Lord. These are all positive activities. And negative activity means, Srila Prabhupada explains, that means avoiding the offenses against the seva aparad. These are nivritti marg, not doing something and doing something. We will not go into detail in that chapter. There are many, many aparadhas, especially while coming to the temple. Not having festivals when there is a season of festival. Not properly coming inside the temple. One can go through this whole list of offenses which one is supposed to avoid. It may appear to be very, you know, so much difficult to follow all these principles. But the point is that the whole aparadhas which are mentioned by Rupa Goswami or our acharyas is to simply increase our remembrance of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. All these offenses which are mentioned, it enhances when we avoid these offenses to increase our remembrance of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. When we commit offense, when somebody commits offense, what happens? One's heart becomes hard. When the heart becomes hard, it is very, very difficult to remember the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, Srila Rupa Goswami and our acharyas gives elaborate list how to come inside the temple, how to praise the spiritual master, how not to praise ordinary living entities, what kind of cloth one should wear when somebody comes to the temple, how one should come to the temple by making a sound, how one should not come in an uncontaminated stage, because this is the place of purity where the Supreme Personality of Godhead resides. One should not enter inside the temple. There is one principle which Rupa Goswami explains. Again, this principle has to be applied in a proper frame. Rupa Goswami explains that if somebody leaves his body and the family members are told, okay, now is a period of contamination, and different people from different community, the Brahmanas, are told not to enter inside the temple for 12 days. And the Kshatriyas and Vaishyas are told not to enter inside the temple for 15 days. And the Shudras are told not to enter inside the temple for 30 days. And this principle sometimes applied by people, by in fact stopping their devotional service also. They close down their altar. They say, because somebody is dead in my family, I cannot worship the Lord. You must have noticed it. But this is not the principle. Srila Prabhupada explains that devotional service, when it has to be performed to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, then these rules become subordinate. If there is no one to worship the Lord, then if you just follow that rule, because somebody is dead and therefore we close down the altar, then that is not proper spirit. Then such time a devotee of the Lord, even though these rules are there, he avoids this rule and continues to render service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And especially those who are practicing devotional service under the guidance of a spiritual master, who are trying to become Vaishnavas, they don't give much importance to this rule of not coming to the temple. Because ultimately, the whole process of spirituality is to increase one's affection for the Supreme Lord. One may avoid coming to the temple, but what will he do? If he engages in non-spiritual activities, that is worst. So therefore, Rupa Goswami, when he speaks this rule, just so that the purity is maintained in the temple. That is the whole purpose. Because if somebody departs from this world, then the family members become contaminated. There is a lamentation. And one is not supposed to worship the Lord in a lamentable position. So therefore, to avoid that contamination, he may not be directly entering inside the temple. He may not be directly engaged in the worship of the Lord. But if there is an emergency where devotional service is required for the Lord, then he avoids this principle and he directly engages in the service of the Supreme Lord. And there is another principle which Rupa Goswami speaks of worshipping Ganesh before worshipping the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This principle is there. So one time one devotee asked Srila Prabhupada, he wrote, Srila Prabhupada, you mentioned in your book that Ganesh should be worshipped before we begin our worship of Lord Krishna. So should we have the deity of Ganesh in the temple? On a formal way installing him? Then Srila Prabhupada, he gave a proper understanding. He said, for us, the preachers of Krishna consciousness movement, there is no need to worship separately the functional deity of Lord Ganesh. Just like we have Ganesh outside. He is taking the shelter of Lord Narsingadev. So there is no special endeavor to worship him just to make our worship proper to Lord Krishna. That separate endeavor is not there. He is there so that he can remove the obstacle in worshipping Krishna exclusively. And Prabhupada explained, if anybody wants to worship Lord Ganesh, he should send me every day $1,000, something like that. So that to make it clear, that there is no need to worship any demigod separately. But at the same time, not worshipping doesn't mean insulting. Worshipping Ganesh doesn't mean that respecting, and at the same time, not worshipping doesn't mean that we disrespect the demigods. We respect them as part and parcel of the Lord, as the empowered, powerful entities who are helping the Supreme Personality of Godhead in the affairs of this material world. So these two, three controversial points, apparently controversial points are there, which can be clarified. Another point is there, which is explained, that when somebody comes in the presence of the Lord, one should not praise other than the Supreme Lord. No other entity should be praised in the presence of the Lord. That is an offense to praise someone else. But it is also mentioned that not praising the spiritual master is also an offense. So it's like a contradiction. That one principle says that one should not praise any living entity. But another principle says that one should not fail to worship and praise the spiritual master. How to solve this contradiction? The acharyas give the explanation that when the spiritual master comes in the presence of the Lord, one can mentally praise him. So that we are following this rule of not praising anyone. Another principle is that because Lord Krishna likes the praise of his devotees, when we praise his confidential servant, he becomes more happy than praising him directly. Therefore, when a spiritual master comes, we praise him by offering obeisances to him, by chanting his pranama mantra, even though we are in the presence of the Lord. And that also gives greater pleasure to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Another principle is that one should not eat in the presence of the Lord. That is also an offense. That means, just like we don't eat in the presence of some superiors. But again, when Mahaprasad is received, it is explained not honoring Mahaprasad immediately, that is also an offense. So we ask this question to Jananivas Prabhu. And he explained that the higher principle has to be followed. That yes, in one sense, eating in the presence of the Lord in a neglectful way, just for the sake of eating, just to gratify one's senses, that is an offense. But if somebody comes and offers you Mahaprasad of Krishna, and if you try to follow this principle, I'm not going to eat in the presence of the Lord. No, then you follow the higher principle. As a prasad, you immediately honor in the presence of the Lord. That is not an offense. So in this way, the offenses has to be properly understood and try to be practiced. All these offenses which are mentioned in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, stretching one's leg in the presence of the Lord, that is also an offense. Showing our back to the Lord, showing our back to the spiritual master is also an offense. Wearing a kind of very distinct cloth, blue and red kind of cloth, and coming in the presence of the Lord, that is also an offense. Somebody asked this question, why one should not wear blue and red color cloth? Nothing specifically mentioned in the scripture that why one should not wear. But the recommendation is that one should not wear. And one devotee gave the explanation that because it is distinctly visible, blue and red color are distinctly visible, you are trying to grab the attention from the Lord to yourself. So one has to come inside the temple as if one is non-entity. Otherwise, if you are dressed gorgeously in the presence of the Lord, then you are trying to steal the attraction. Of course, nobody can steal the attraction from the Lord. But still, therefore coming in a clean way, but at the same time not in a gaudy way, is recommended while worshipping the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So Rupa Goswami talks about these offenses to be avoided. And that is again the part of the devotional service limb. All these small things should not be avoided. Sometimes we feel, okay, ultimately I am chanting Hare Krishna mantra, which is the highest. So it doesn't matter these small things are followed or not followed. But sometimes even these small things can cause our deliverance from this world. Very small thing can be the cause of our going back home, back to Godhead. One may not be able to chant at the time of our final destination, at the time of death. But some other, even this small limb of devotional service, if we are connected, then it is so wonderful. It can give us the supreme destination. As we read in the next chapter, further consideration of devotional principle, Rupa Goswami talks about wearing kantimala and putting on tilak. Now these are very simple things. It is not as great as chanting Hare Krishna. Just putting tilak and kantimala, in some places If you go to the Islamic countries, devotees can't wear kantimala or put tilak. But it's an important principle. Sometime one may not be able to chant Hare Krishna at the time of death. But if the kantimala is there, and what the Shastra say, that anybody who has a kantimala in his neck, he can go back to the spiritual world. Srila Jiva Goswami comments that he never saw Rupa Goswami not wearing kantimala. He comments on this verse that he would always wear the kantimala. And the tilak would be there all the time. It is there in the Chaitanya Bhagavat. One of the students of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to his class and he had no tilak. And Mahaprabhu said, "Your forehead looks like a cremation ground. Without tilak, it looks like a cremation ground. Better you put a tilak." He mildly chastised his student. And those who are practicing devotional service for many, many years, by some reason, if they don't have to put tilak, you know, they feel something missing. They feel left out, oh, I am missing something. And then, what is the importance of putting kantimala and tilak? Again, the Shastra has explained that anybody who has a kantimala and a tilak, the Yamadutas can never come. It is guaranteed that such a person will go back to the spiritual world. And one Vaishnava Acharya was giving an example. Just like you go and you find some space, empty space, and if there are no notice board to say that this property belongs to such and such person, this property belongs to government, then what happens? Suddenly some people will come and they try to grab that land, they will make their jhopadi there and they will start staying there. There is always a chance of trespass. But if there is a sign saying that this land belongs to the government, and the outsiders will hesitate to trespass. Similarly, the Acharya explained that when the kantimala and tilak is there, then what we are declaring? We are declaring this is the property of God. And because this is the property of God, the trespassers in the form of ghostly entities, in the form of all kinds of, you know, negative energies, do not attack us. Because they know this body belongs to not any ordinary person. This body belongs to someone who is very special. This body belongs to the Supreme Lord. So they will not attack. They will never try to attack such a living entity. So therefore, even the insignificant thing, of course it is not insignificant for the Vaishnavas, of putting on kantimala and tilak, is so important. By seeing that kantimala and tilak, if somebody passes away, they get so much of benefit. Simply by seeing a Vaishnava and passing away. We have discussed this story. There was one devotee, and he was from Germany. He was going with his mother when he was 14 years old. And he saw one devotee. He never spoke to him. What did he see in this devotee? He saw his dhoti kurta. He saw shaven head. He saw his tilak. He saw his kantimala. And that picture became so strongly imprinted within his consciousness, in his heart. So whenever he had seen this, you know, these movies which are fearful movies, and whenever he would think about them, immediately this face of this devotee would come to give him solace. That was the connection of this young boy with devotional service. What was his connection? No books, no Mahamantra, nothing except the form of a devotee, and that's how he became a devotee. So therefore, it's so important putting on kantimala and tilak. Rupa Goswami assures that anybody does that, he can never be seen by the Yamadutas. And he quotes, Prabhupada quotes the 6th canto of Bhagavat, wherein Yamaraj is saying that you never go close to the Vaishnavas. He's ordering the Yamadutas. Another principle of devotional service, which Rupa Goswami gives lot of importance, is of blasphemy. One thing is to blaspheme the devotees. But here, that is gross. But Rupa Goswami is speaking about hearing blasphemy. That means it is expected that we are not supposed to blaspheme. Therefore, he doesn't even speak about that. But he is talking about not hearing blasphemy. Anyone who hears blasphemy, Rupa Goswami explains, and Srila Prabhupada quotes different shastras, that hearing blasphemy of the devotees or the Lord himself will ruin our spiritual life. When we hear the blasphemy of the Supreme Lord and his pure devotee, it destroys our spiritual life. And Srila Rupa Goswami quotes from the 10th canto of Bhagavat. Shukadeva Goswami is speaking to Parikshit Maharaj, the episode of Shishupal. When Shishupal was blaspheming the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the devotees of the Lord, those who were knowing the principles of the Vedas, what they did? Some of them, immediately they closed their eyes, closed their ears, and they departed very fast from the assembly hall, so that they should not be contaminated by hearing the blasphemy of the Lord. And others, like the Pandavas, when they heard the blasphemy, they upraised their weapons. Bhima took his mace, other Pandavas took their sword, and they were about to attack Shishupal. And again in the 4th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, there is a mention of when Sati heard the blasphemy of her Lord, Lord Shiva. Lord Shiva is the greatest of the devotee. And her own father was blaspheming Lord Shiva. Then what she did? Mother Sati, seeing that I have heard the blasphemy of my master, she decided to quit her body. And the Shastra enjoined, the Shastra explained that one can adopt three things when they hear the blasphemy of the Lord or his devotee. One is, one should argue and defeat the blasphemer if he has the ability to defeat. And second, if he cannot defeat the blasphemer, one should run away from that place. And third, if someone blasphemes and hears the blasphemy, which we don't practice, which should not be practiced, that can cause harm, is that you cut off his tongue. Now, in the 4th canto, Bhagavad Srila Prabhupada explains, arguing with a person who blasphemes and running away from that place is done by a brahmana. Because a brahmana has the ability, because he's expert in arguing from the shastra, he can actually defeat. But if it is too much, to avoid the blasphemy, he just leaves that place. Brahmana can do like that. A brahmana cannot kill himself, and a brahmana cannot kill the blasphemer also. It is explained in the episode of Amogha, when Sarvam Bhattacharya heard his son-in-law blaspheming Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he desired to kill him. He said, this person has to be killed. But I cannot kill him. Better let me commit suicide. But then he said, no. My committing suicide or killing Amogha is the cause of destroying a brahmana. It's a brahma hatya. So I cannot do that. So better I run away from this place. And a kshatriya, because he's powerful, he has been awarded that authority to punish people. So therefore, he can actually cut off the tongue and he can also kill him. But again, in this age, we as the devotees, we are not trying to be a kshatriyas. We are trying to be Vaishnavas. So therefore, what method we adopt, we don't cut the tongue, we don't jump into the water by committing suicide. Rather, we actually debate with the person who is blaspheming. Or if we see that is too much, then we leave that place without arguing. Because the Shudras, it is explained that when they hear the blasphemy, they have to jump. Like Mother Sati, because she considered that I am a Shudra, I cannot maintain this body anymore. Therefore, she created a natural fire and she burnt herself in that fire. So once again to repeat, so that we don't take a whimsical decision of cutting somebody's tongue or committing suicide. For a Vaishnava, the practicing Vaishnava, the best policy is that if you are able to defeat through Shastra, you should defeat them. Otherwise, simply avoid them. Don't argue with them, with the blasphemer. But it's a very important principle. Rupa Goswami does not speak of making blasphemy, rather he speaks about hearing blasphemy. Even that is so dangerous to our spiritual progress. And next Rupa Goswami speaks about accepting flower garlands. Herein Rupa Goswami quotes the 11th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, wherein Lord Krishna is instructing Uddhava that anything which is the prasad of the Lord, sometime when the newcomers they come to the temple, they see sometimes sannyasis having 3-4 garlands. And they say, what is this? You know, they are so boldly going around with so many garlands in their neck. What kind of arrogance is this? Now, they are not wearing garland just to show off. Because any garland which is given to a devotee of the Lord, it is the Mahaprasad of the Lord. So therefore, they take great pleasure in honoring those garlands by putting in their neck. And that is recommended by Lord Krishna. That any article, the sainted article which is offered to Lord Krishna, just like in the morning, the saint is offered to the Lord. Of course, the renounced are not supposed to use. But Lord Krishna, he is ordering Uddhava that the sainted articles like sandalwood or some other saint and the garland of the Lord should be honored by putting it on. Therefore, Srila Prabhupada, whenever some special guest would come, he would put the garland to them. Or he himself would have many garlands in his neck. As what? As the prasad of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That is the recommended process. Smelling that flower garland and keeping it in the neck is one of the devotional service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. It is one of the 64 items of devotional service. And they are very important 64 items of devotional service. Accepting the flower garland. And then dancing before the deity. Sometimes people say, what kind of meditation is this? When people come to the temple, when they see that devotees are jumping and dancing, they consider it to be, you know, these people are restless. This is not spiritual life. They are not being grave. They are not being sober. And this was the complaint, this was the allegation made even by Prakashananda Saraswati. Prakashananda Saraswati, when he saw Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu dance in the street of Banaras, he told his followers, don't go and associate with this person. Bhau ko hoye, bhau kare phire. That this sannyasi is a sentimentalist. He is going along with many other sentimentalists and is dancing. What kind of sannyasi is this? This is not proper. He said, don't associate and get contaminated by going with Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. That was his complaint. But the Shastras enjoin that dancing is not meant for entertainment. That is part of the 64 items of devotional service. If somebody says that I am more devotional by not dancing, then that is not true. Dancing is one more item along with chanting Hare Krishna. Therefore, when we are dancing during the Mangal Arati or during Guru Puja, along with the chanting, when we dance, we are performing two limbs of devotional service. In fact, more. We are hearing, we are chanting, we are dancing, we are seeing the deity form of the Lord. So at one stroke, many limbs of devotional service are practiced. So therefore, everybody is supposed to dance in the presence of the Lord. That's an important limb of devotional service. And Rupa Goswami explains that while dancing before me and manifest different features of bodily expression can burn away all the accumulated sinful reaction he has stocked up for many, many thousands of years. In the same book, there is a statement by Narad, wherein he asserts, from the body of any person who claps and dances before the deity, showing manifestation of ecstasy, all the birds of sinful activities fly away upward. Just as by clapping the hands, one can cause many birds to fly away, similarly the birds of all sinful activities which are sitting on the body can be made to fly away simply by dancing and clapping before the deity of Krishna. Therefore it is a very important principle. And that is the philosophy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Sometime we discuss. We see during the morning program, Srila Prabhupada gave us the full function up to 9 o'clock, up until Bhagavatam class. Sometime during the Guru Puja, we see, yes, those who have to go for work, you know, they have an emergency, then it is okay, they can go and chant. But if there is plenty of time available, but they are chanting Hare Krishna during Guru Puja, that means they are giving less importance to the congregational chanting. Because the process of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is what? It is more than japa, it is a congregational chanting. We experience greater purification when we come in the assembly of devotees and chant Hare Krishna in congregational chanting. Even our japa, especially Srila Prabhupada has designed our japa in such a way that at our stage we don't chant alone. We chant in the association of devotees. Even our chanting is done in a congregational way. So therefore, congregational chanting along with dancing gives greater purification. It is like a 4 hours battery charger. And japa is like 8 hours battery charger. Both are required in their own estimated time. But if we don't take part in the congregational chanting, then we don't experience the bliss what has been given by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Therefore, it is a very important limb. Even though somebody may be very sober, coming from a family where he is very reserved, he doesn't like dancing, but it's a very important principle to dance in the presence of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, feeling all kinds of, not feeling any shame. One time Tamal Krishna Maharaj came and he said, you see, find sometimes devotees don't raise their hands, or sometimes people don't raise their hands in the kirtan. He was saying, then you should know that they are burdened with so many sinful activities that they can't even raise their hands. That's his opinion, that they are so burdened that they can't even raise their hands to chant Hare Krishna. He was saying that one who is joyful and jolly, he can easily raise his hands and chant, just like Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu taught us. And Srila Prabhupada, even though as a 70-year-old man, one of the best moments which devotees remember, one of the very historical picture of Srila Prabhupada is that Srila Prabhupada is standing on the Rath cart with a nice rose garland in his neck, and in Guru Krupa Prabhu is leading the kirtan. And more than the kirtan, when Prabhupada raised his hands and started dancing, devotees went mad and wild. Why? Because Prabhupada was exhibiting the symptom of a practicing devotee. Even though he was so old, he raised his hand and he chanted, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Therefore, along with chanting, along with singing the names of the Lord, dancing is also very important. Bowing down in honor of the deity. Srila Rupa Goswami explains that one time bowing before the deity is so great, it is much greater than performing many sacrifices. It may happen that you may perform many sacrifices, horse sacrifice or rajasuya sacrifice. There are so many sacrifices. But still sometime, even after performing these sacrifices, one may have to come back to this material world. But anyone who offers obeisances in the presence of the Lord, he does not have to come back to this material world. One time in America, Srila Prabhupada, he saw two young men come inside the temple. And then he saw that one young person, he offered his obeisances. And one person did not. And Srila Prabhupada noticed that and he said, you have a choice to offer to the deity or at the time of death, you need to offer obeisances. You can't avoid offering obeisances. You have to offer obeisances. So better offer to the deities. By offering obeisances to the deities, what will happen? You will not come back to this material world. Just see, simple act of coming and stretching ourselves in the presence of the Lord can derive such a benefit. But sometimes people who are arrogant, they can't stand. They come inside the temple and they stand straight. Of course, they don't know the culture of devotional life. But there are some people naturally, simply by seeing the whole group of people offering obeisances. One devotee was mentioning his story. When he came first time to the temple, and suddenly when a spiritual master or a sannyasi comes, he saw everybody offer obeisances. And seeing that, he was, you know, forced by the whole atmosphere, without knowing the culture, he also bent down to offer obeisances. And that gave so much of benefit. So Rupa Goswami explains that is the difference. That simply offering the obeisances to the Supreme Personality of Godhead in honor of deity will allow him to go back to the spiritual world. He does not come back to this material world. That is the difference between the devotional limbs and ordinary ritualistic activities. In ordinary ritualistic activities, if you make some mistake, yes, certainly you come back. But if there are some mistakes, those mistakes can lead us to take us to animalistic life also. Just like Nruga. He performed unlimited sacrifice, but there was small mistake on his part. And because of that small mistake, he was cursed to become lizard. But with devotional service, it is not like that. Just see the comparison. Not everybody can do sacrifice. And even if somebody does the sacrifice, there is no guarantee of protection. In fact, there is always a risk of becoming a lizard. But offering obeisances to the Supreme Personality of Godhead or His devotee is so wonderful that one obeisance can give so much of benefit. And therefore, Rupa Goswami explains that he does not come back to this world, but directly goes back to the spiritual world. Next one is standing up to receive the Lord. In the Brahmanda Purana, it is said, a person who sees the Lord's Ratha Yatra car and then stands up to receive the Lord can purge all kinds of sinful result from his body. Again, just see how devotional service is so powerful. Ratha Yatra is taken to such a people who don't want to offer obeisances. When the Ratha cart goes outside, Jagannath Ratha Yatra, we see thousands of people who never come to the temple, they naturally come out of their balcony. That means they got up from their seat, from their, you know, glued to their idiot box, seeing, oh, something has come out. That means unknowingly they get up to receive the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And when they see the Lord's car, Jagannath, they receive him, they receive prasad of Lord Jagannath, and what happens? They get their eternal credit. Srila Prabhupada would explain that anybody who goes behind the Ratha card, anyone who sees the Ratha card, one who receives the Ratha card by standing, Prabhupada told, at the time of death, because he has seen that he goes back to the spiritual world. Devotees were shocked. They asked Srila Prabhupada, Prabhupada, it's so easy? How is it possible? And Prabhupada explained that the power of practicing unknowing devotional service is so great. He said, if you had seen Rath in your lifetime and in your practice any devotional service, and then when you are about to give up your body, what happens? That all the events of your life, they go like fast forward. Now you put your DVD or CD or VCD and it is going fast forward. And then suddenly the part where you actually had the darshan of Lord Jagannath, the DVD stops working. Only that picture becomes still. The picture of the event of you actually attending the Rath cart, and then you give up your body. And anyone who thinks dying of Krishna, when he thinks and he gives up his body, when he thinks of Krishna and gives up his body, what happens? If that picture is there, Krishna is promising that antakalecha mameva, he will go back to the spiritual world. So that is how Krishna is merciful. So you can imagine, if little devotional service can give so much, again if people calculate, one devotee said, Prabhupada, so much benefit by little devotional service, then why do more devotional service? Prabhupada said, this is not good calculation. You should calculate otherwise. If by doing little devotional service so much, why not practice so much devotional service? If somebody is investing in the bank, if you know that by investing 10 rupees I can get 1000 rupees, he doesn't think like that, oh, only by investing this much, why do more? What does he do? He becomes greedy. If by investing 10 rupees I can get 1000 rupees in one day, why not invest crores of rupees? Said Prabhupada, said, that is devotional service. He said, all these principles are given, they are not exaggeration. They are not fantastic to just to attract your attention. They are a reality. And at the same time, they attract us to show that if by performing little devotional service, if I get so much of benefit, why not increase my devotional service and get more and more benefit? Therefore, a devotee of the Lord should not take these principles in a way to minimize our devotional service. I have done enough, so there is no need. That becomes again namaparad. It is to attract the conditioned souls, to attract them how powerful devotional service is. And the devotee of the Lord, what does he do? He does not stop simply by pulling the cart. He continues to perform more and more devotional service. He pulls more people to perform devotional service. He engages in the service of the Lord 24 hours. Therefore, our calculation is that if by so less I can get so much, why not dedicate my full life in the service of the Supreme Personality of Godhead? So I'll stop here and discuss the other principles of devotional limbs in our next class. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Any question? We can have one or two questions. Yes? Yeah.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji.
Yes.
Prabhuji, you said that we should not associate with not-knowledge. What do you mean to do with not-knowledge? Because yesterday we were told that a non-devotee and non-believer, even after 15 years, he became a devotee by the association. So I agree that there is always a risk of two-way flow of the energies between a non-devotee or non-Vaishnavite and devotee. But then suppose, it is only one-way flow of the energy from the devotee to the non-devotee or non-Vaishnavite, probably it will save his life also, and he will do a bigger service of spreading the name of the Lord. Number two would be that you said that everybody should be a preacher. Isn't the risk there to give more your own interpretation? Everybody is a preacher, and in preaching, everybody is not so expert that he doesn't add his interpretation. And if he adds his interpretation in preaching, probably we are likely to give the wrong attitude.
First, we discussed already the first question, that there is always a room for you to give your association. It is unavoidable to not associate with non-devotees. In fact, we are surrounded. The whole world is filled with people who are not practicing devotional service. So it is unavoidable. So therefore, a devotee is, what does he do? He increases his spiritual energy by trying to associate more with devotees. And then when he is with non-devotees, it is like a, it's like an armor. It protects his devotional principle and does not allow him to be contaminated by non-devotional people. And therefore, the devotees explain that attack is the best defense. Sometimes devotees avoid showing that they are devotees, because the argument is that why to show that we are devotees? You know, my devotional service should be practiced in the temple. Why make a big propaganda of this, that I am a devotee? No, because the whole materialistic world is making a propaganda of how that they are non-devotees. And when by hearing their propaganda, by hearing their culture, by seeing their culture, because our bhakti lata, which is so, you know, so delicate, there is all the chances that our devotional creeper may wash away. Therefore, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, Prabhupada told that story that in one factory, many Vaishnavas were working. And the factory was taken over by a non-Vaishnav, a non-Hindu. And he made a law that nobody can put tilak. It is banned. And some people were scared, they stopped wearing. But there was one person, he did not stop. He continued to wear. He was not fanatical, rather he was very staunch follower. And he explained to his boss, you know, this is what I do. And the boss became very happy. He said, ah, you continue wearing tilak. So Prabhupada explains that it is not that because, you know, I saw one time when I was in Bhaktivedanta Hospital, there is a college, and you know, this some people would come to college with their burqa, right? Burqa. But when they would come to the classroom, because it was close to our window where we were staying, and you'd find outside the window many burqas are hanging. That means they are not convinced they are supposed to wear all the time. That is a different subject matter, they should wear or not. But they are not convinced, they are forced. Similarly, if the devotees are, you know, when they come to the temple, they act as devotees. When they go out, they act as non-devotees. Then, it shows that they are already influenced by the outside environment. They are shy. Recently, Radhana Swami Maharaj is explaining that in the Western world, it is so difficult to exhibit themselves as the devotees. But still, you know, devotees would go out as the devotees and ultimately they are respected. I don't know where it is mentioned. People quote Prabhupada saying that in the beginning, people will blaspheme you. First they will tease you, then blaspheme you, then they'll neglect you. Very painful. But seeing your conviction, ultimately they'll respect you. These are the four stages. So therefore, only if you show that you are a devotee, then you can preach. Of course, we are not saying that one should be fanatical and whimsical. You know, in certain place, you can't, because it may be risk for your life. If you are going to Saudi Arabia, you know, you have to be very careful. But if you are surrounded by your own people, who you know that they are not going to kill you, but you are fearful, oh no, no, why should I show myself as a devotee? No, devotee should be devotee 24 hours, not only in the temple. Either he's going to party, either he's going to marriage, either he's going to some kind of job. You know, we have many devotees. You know, they are very, by their behavior and their by attire, they make it very clear that we are devotees. Like one of our devotees here now, in the ashram, when he was working outside, he would make it very clear that I am practicing God consciousness. So one time they completed this project, their software project. And because they completed that project, you know, his colleagues were forcing, let us have a party, let us have a party. And he as a devotee would not go into parties. But they were insisting, you know, you come, at least come and take some juice. And just to please them, he said, okay, I will come. So when he was going to that big five-star hotel, his boss, the boss of this devotee and the boss of all other people, the boss saw him coming towards that hotel. And from the lobby he saw that, oh, this person is coming inside. He went out. He told him, this is not good place for you. You are going to be a monk. You are practicing spirituality. He said, you don't come. And he told, I will inform all of your colleagues that it is shame on their part to invite him here. I will manage that. But you don't get contaminated. We are contaminated. Shri Radha Gopinath ki. So that's what the conviction can make. It can impress others and help you to practice your devotional service nicely. We'll stop here.
Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Srivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Krishna Krishna Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Krishna Krishna Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Jayo Radha Gopinath Radha Gopinath Radhe. Jayo Goranita Goranita. Goranita, Jay Goranita. Goranita, Jayo Sri Gopal, Sri Gopal, Sri Gopal, Jayo Sri Gopal. Thank you.